Welcome to the CMO Reset.
I'm Norman Guadagno, multi-time CMO, agency leader, and all-around marketing guy, endlessly questioning how to balance who I am with what I do.
And I'm Jeff Hadfield, longtime journalist, media person, tech industry guy, community and ecosystem builder, partnership forger, and part-time DJ.
Join us for the CMO Reset and get perspective on your work, your life, and the world we're in.
Let's dive in.
Perspective, our point of view.
I'm traveling down Highway 84 in northeastern Connecticut. A sunny day in late spring, going from the middle of nowhere, where I live, to the vibrant and somewhat less middle of nowhere exurbs of Hartford. For reasons, I'm sitting in the back seat next to my almost four-year-old son, while Rachel, my lovely wife, drives. Sitting in the back seat means I am holding hands with a kid, telling stories about trains and rocket ships, and playing I Spy. There are only so many things to spy from the back seat of the car at 70 miles an hour on this stretch of Highway 84. Mostly grass and trees. Lots of, I spy with my little eye something green. And then guessing which green thing we see. Even the signs are green. The color variety only emerges in other cars, which may be out of view before the kid even can see them going by. But there is a big white truck next to us, and I spy something white with red lettering. The truck says Walgreens, and although of zero interest to my son, it is of tremendous personal interest to me. Not the first time I have seen a Walgreens truck on this highway, and certainly won't be the last. But every time, it triggers an interesting set of memories. In high school, once I got my driver's license, I wanted to buy a car. In order to buy a car, I needed money, and to get money, I needed a job. My family was definitely middle class, and I knew from the get-go that if I wanted something, I went to work to earn the money. That work ethic has served me well since, but maybe it was a bit of a burden back then. Anyway, through whatever arrangements were made, which I truly can't recall, I got a car and a job. I needed the car to get to the job, so suspect my parents may have helped out somewhere. The car was a 1968 Mercury Cougar, a car that car buffs will definitely know. It was really the thinking man's Mustang, as I used to say, or maybe I just made that up as a great memory I would like to have. My thinking man's Mustang had the same Ford V8 as the Mustang, but the amazingly stylish hidden headlamps and long, lean lines that spoke of power and speed, certainly to a 17-year-old. And those headlamps were a pain, because inevitably one would break, and you would have to lock it open and look like you were driving around winking at everyone. But the car is not the point. The point is the job. It was at a popular then in the wilds of South Florida and long dead and forgotten restaurant chain named Wags. Yes, W-A-G apostrophe S, Wags. The Denny's clone for people who didn't want to go to Denny's. I started as a busboy, quickly became a line cook, and eventually was working graveyard shift as an assistant manager. I did it all. Now, I doubt you have ever heard of Wags, but please send me a note if you have and would love to talk about it. And I don't think its ultimate demise was much of a loss for the world. But going back to that tractor trailer racing alongside my car in 2025, Wags was owned by none other than Walgreens Corporation. Wags, Walgreens, get it? Walgreens once had grills inside many of their drugstores, as was popular back in the day. A soda fountain and maybe some burgers and fries at a counter inside the store. It was a thing, and the company decided at some point to expand into the freestanding restaurant business. Hence, Wags. Breakfast and burgers, ice cream, early bird dinners for the seniors. What more did you need in the booming retirement and young family environs of South Florida in the late 70s and early 80s? Wags. And the truck reminds me of the paychecks I would get every 2 weeks from Walgreens. Whatever the minimum wage was back then, I was probably making $1 an hour more because I was good at what I did. As a busboy, I excelled. As a line cook, I was fearsome. As a night manager, I was able to count coins and bills reliably. I was proud and remain proud of doing good work. Work now is not as simple as it was then. I suspect the people at Walgreens, caught in the current historic transformation of retail, know that well. For me, all these decades later, I look fondly back on my time cooking at Wags. I still remember many of the codes that would be written on the checks to indicate the items ordered. WTO means Wags traditional omelet. WTC means Wags traditional club. Not complex, very traditional. I also learned the value of mastering my craft. It's not enough to be able to cook 20 dozen eggs on a Sunday morning. It's about learning how to efficiently crack the first egg with your fingers while the second egg is nestled in the palm of the same hand. Ready to crack when the shell from the first is tossed. It's having four pans going at once and knowing exactly when to flip over the over easies and when to flip the over mediums so everything lands on the plate at once. It's a rhythm and flow being a short order cook. Being a CMO can be about that too. When done right. It might not be about eggs in the pan, burgers on the grill, and the proper way to make a club sandwich. And yes, there is a proper way to make a club sandwich. But the principles are the same. Marketing and being a marketing executive is a craft, one that requires years of experience, many, many mistakes, and a deep appreciation of all the varied and sundry things that go into making marketing, often at enterprise scale, work efficiently and effectively. I think this is all underappreciated in a world where some think AI can do our jobs and others think our job is simply buying search ads and magically creating pipeline. From the time I learned the routine and rituals of the fry line as a short order cook, I knew that every job holds two fundamental truths. One. Mastery requires endless practice, learning, and mistakes. And truth two, someone who has never done the job often thinks they understand it because they read an article or saw a video or practiced it at home. Making perfect over easy eggs at home is fine, but it's not making hundreds of perfect eggs in a hot kitchen on a busy Sunday morning. And so it goes for modern marketing as well. I don't say any of this to my son. We just play I Spy, and then I make up a story about kittens.
Discussion.
As you might imagine, that brought back a lot of memories for me. I was thinking about some of the things that I also learned as I did some of my early jobs, high school, college, and maybe I'll recap those here because it's kind of amazing.
I would love to hear, actually.
Well, this is going to be no shock to you. This is why I made a couple notes and I thought I should probably share this because when I look back at those, they really were formative years. And first thing I want to highlight is I want to reinforce the things that you just said in terms of every job has those two interesting things about it, right? It is almost nothing that I have done, at least. And I say every job in a grand what's the right word? I'm sweeping my hands around as if I know everything about everything in the world. But I think we all have some experience where no matter how effective it was last year or let's say even 5 years ago, things have changed or we've improved or the market has changed or our skills have gotten better. And the way we do things, there are still some fundamentals and we'll probably talk about, you know, what are the difference between fundamentals in a playbook in the future, right? Perhaps. But with number one, yeah, I mean, I think everything is trial and error. And it's when you run across people, and that's the corollary that bridges us to number two. When you run across people that think they know everything, they tend to not realize that all the things you're doing really are a matter of trial and error. And really,
exactly.
I think any good job and anything that's driving growth personally or professionally means that some of these things are not going to stick, or that the outcome of the thing you did is the thing you learned from it, not the end result. So, okay,
right,
so that
right.
was my rant. Now, our lovely, talented, and dedicated listeners can't see me here, but if you've ever been on a Zoom call with me, behind me is a wall of vinyl records, because I can fit most of them only on one wall in my house, and that's the one. So it ends up being my
I have seen this wall, Jeff.
Yeah, it is true.
Has a lot of vinyl. Let's be clear. Jeff has a lot of vinyl.
I do. The CDs are not visible, all this stuff, but this is what's going to be no shock to you. So when I was in high school, my job was working at the CompuShack for a lovely Indian couple. And this was long enough ago that, you know, we were working on IBM PCs and clones.
All right. Let's make clear.
Yeah.
The CompuShack.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Radio Shack.
Nope.
Shake Shack.
This was a
or any other
one. Yep.
Shack,
and when I'd
the
have
Love
to,
Shack.
When I'd have to, yep, nope, none of those shacks. In fact, and I would load up similar to your car. It also kept me in gas for my Beetle. And I would drive that Beetle to the distributor and stuff it full of complete systems. And then I would assemble them, and I would be in charge of doing things like, you know, putting the memory in and things like that, and all those things. But so, and I did that in order to, you know, have gas money and then also go record shopping, which is no stranger.
Mm-hmm.
When I got
I used my money for gas and books. I bought a lot of books.
Yeah, I bought a lot of books too. And the, I hear you. And then in college, I had similar things that I did, but one of my jobs was always working at a record or CD store. And at the same time, I always had multiple jobs where I had projects. This is, again, going to be no shock at all. I was publishing like quarterly magazines or publications or things like that. And then probably if I were going to list, besides the record store stuff, if I were going to list a job that informed the rest of my life and career, there was a role in the English department called the English lab, and anybody from any department could come and make an appointment in the English lab, and they could get 10 minutes with the higher level students that were in there like me, and we would be able to either talk them through their outline or do whatever, or we'd have to read the paper they'd already written and suggest some ways to make it better.
Yep.
As you might imagine, that meant that I can still do editing of any document. I can see what needs to be done extremely quickly. The work might take a little longer, but it really made it so I can edit very, very quickly. So I loved all that.
And you can do that very quickly today.
Yeah.
I should point out, Jeff, so it's not lost on anyone listening, that you still have a job as a DJ on weekends for those people who might be in the Salt Lake City, Utah area, can go hear the infamous DJ Hitchhike.
It's true. I was just going to say the easy way to find stuff that I've been doing is djhitchhike.com.
There you go.
You can find Jeff doing that. Yeah, and it's fun. I think I wanted to come back to the work ethic thing. The other thing that I noticed, and you mentioned that, the reason I tell all those stories is, A, I think anybody who knows me is probably going to be amused by those, but B, it reminds me of your short order cook lessons. And that is, I have always had a bunch of interests and a bunch of things going on, and I know how to, juggle's the wrong word, but be involved in a bunch of different things, moving them ahead in a responsible way. And I think I just described many of the modern positions in actual work, especially the CMO.
Exactly right. And I think, you know, part of what stands out for me as I reflected back on those lessons I learned, it taught me a lot more than I may even give it credit for, even still. Is not just the mastery of craft, but the ability to to literally juggle multiple things at once. The joy of being a short order cook, mm-hmm. And remaining calm in the face of an onslaught of orders coming into the window or the onslaught of a bunch of things happening at work. And I always find as a marketing leader, as I have spent more and more time in my craft, I get better and better at remaining calm in the face of a crisis, in being able to orchestrate resources and be able to deliver something of value. And when I have seen people who don't have that characteristic, for whatever reason, it's something I encourage them to develop. I encourage them to develop the ability to realize that whether your job is in fact CMO or CEO of a company, or you're a mid-level marketing leader, or you're a short order cook, you cannot control the inputs. You can only control your output. And as the inputs ramp up, you have to be able to throttle, organize, manage, and calmly deliver your outputs back. And as you master your craft, whatever your craft may be, you want to be respectful of how you get better and better at doing something well in the face of being asked to do two dozen other things at the same time.
I think some of the things you've said right there make me think of things we can talk about in other places, like that was 100% correct, and how do we most effectively manage expectations for people so they understand that the input in any position we're doing is always going to be greater than the output. There's always going to be have to be something left in the backlog or on the shelf.
Right, right. And but throttling, triaging, managing. And I spend a lot of time looking at the discussions that many of my peers engage in, and I engage in as well, around what's happening in marketing today and in technology and in any field. And it's easy to try to like constantly bounce to the latest, greatest thing and somehow make it all seem relevant. And I realize that that's clickbait at some level, but it's also just the reality of like even the demands from your boss to like, hey, let's jump on this trend. Let's jump on that trend. Let's understand this. Let's understand that. It has its place, but if you are constantly reactive and not sufficiently proactive about the more strategic things, you will end up being flooded and not being able to respond effectively.
I think that's a great place to leave that episode for today. So thank you again for joining us today, and we'll see you again on a future episode. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CMO Reset. You can find us on Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, and at cmoreset.com.